It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the study of Joshua chapter 22. Joshua chapter 22. We're going to begin reading with the 15th verse today. So please open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 22, verse 15, and we'll begin the study here in just a moment. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. And so we're going to begin reading now, Joshua chapter 22. We're just going to read a few verses, and then we'll be reading the rest of the verses while we do the study today. Joshua chapter 22, verse 15. And they came unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to half the tribe of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead, and they spake unto them, saying, Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, What trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that ye have builded an altar, that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? Now that's as far as we're going to read today, but we're going to continue through the rest of that chapter. And so please, let's begin with prayer as we always do. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together and enjoy this time. Oh, it's just a joy to study your precious word and to understand it, and then to turn around and study it again and again. Father, it's just your living word, and we thank you for that. Please, dear Lord, that all will come to the Lord Jesus, that they will trust in him today and know him as their personal Savior, not just to know about him, but to know him as their personal Savior. Oh, please, dear Lord, that today be the day that be true, and that they will begin that wonderful life rejoicing and knowing the Lord Jesus as their Savior. So please, let's just every day, dear Father, I just pray that all that are listening, that they will trust in you, follow you, be saved, and enjoy that wonderful life as a Christian. And please, dear Lord, just have them to find a good Bible-believing church to go into, to grow and to study. Please, Lord. Please. Now guide and lead us through this study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you don't remember what has taken place here, Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh was going home. Where were they going home from? They were going home from the battles. They had agreed to help the rest of the tribes come and take the land of Canaan, and to take the land of Canaan and get the victory over that land. They was to go in and assist, even though they were going to stay on the other side of the Jordan River, and that's where they had already acquired land. That's where they left their families. Just the men of war is all that come across the Jordan to help do battle, and they did what they said they would do. They came and helped fight all the battles to win. They didn't do the complete work that they should have done, but they did the majority of it. They did a good job, a good time, a good deed. And so now they're heading home. Battle's over. Joshua sent them home. And on their way home, they come and decide at the Jordan River there that they would build an altar and praise the Lord and thank the Lord. Well, what has happened is that the other tribes saw that as that they were not going to come back to worship in the tabernacle the way they should. Now, the tabernacle, if you'll remember, was up in Shiloh, and let me see that that's correct here. Let's find where we leave the tabernacle. because it was so very important to them that they not forget where to praise the Lord, to serve the Lord. And we find here, and the whole congregation of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. That's back in the 18th chapter, verse 1. And so now that we come back, and what was the problem is that the people didn't inquire. They just immediately knew that Gad, Reuben, and half of Manasseh, that they were going to worship there. That's where they were going, where they'd built this altar. And that's not right. Well, God accepted it. There was nothing wrong with it. And they wanted to do it in a position of honor and praise and thankfulness of what the Lord had done for them. But the other tribes, they took immediately the wrong thought. They took the wrong side of it. And you see, sometimes we do the same thing. Immediately we just assume that this is what they mean. Well, this was a terrible thing to do. These 9.5 tribes came after the 2.5 tribes in a vengeance. And so let's read on here. And you'll see what we're talking about. And here in verse 16, "And said the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that ye have built it an altar, that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed unto this day, although there is a plague in the congregation of the Lord, but that ye must turn away this day from following the Lord? And it will be, seeing ye rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel." Look at this. They are coming again with a vengeance against these 2.5 tribes. Now this Baal Peor, you'll find in Numbers chapter 23, verse 28. It was a Moabite deity. It was worshipped on the summit of Mount Peor. Another name could have been Chemosh. That may be more familiar to you. And so, and the problem that was stated here is what was gotten there. Was that not enough? Wasn't there a problem here? And we go on to verse 20. "Did not Achan commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that man perished not alone in his iniquity?" And so that was in the verse 20. So there's two of them, Peor and Achan, that these 9.5 tribes are reminding Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh of the sin that was committed there. And they says, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing by building this altar here? Because what that's going to mean is that God's going to come, God's going to be mad, God's going to be angry, and he's going to come, and he's going to bring judgment on us again. Once again, they have condemned these 2.5 tribes for no reason at all. Because we're going to find that wasn't their thought at all, that we're going to continue to come back to Shiloh as we're supposed to. That's where God is at. We're not building something here that's not pleasing to the Lord. Let's look at verse 19. "Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over into the land of the possession of the Lord, wherein the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth, and take possession among us. But rebel not against the Lord, nor rebel against us, in building you an altar beside the altar of the Lord our God." And then we go on then with Achan, the son of Zerah, committed trespass in the cursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that man perished not alone in his iniquity. Then the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe Manasseh answered and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel. Now we're going to have the answer right here. And again, please, please don't jump to conclusions. If you think something is happening, find out. Check on it. Don't jump to a conclusion because this is what you see. And boy, I know they're doing something so terrible wrong, and it is. I know it is. Now, you need to inquire. Find out its purpose. Find out its reasoning. They're going to find out here in just a few minutes, and we're going to read this, and they're going to kind of go away ashamed a little bit for the way what they thought. They are right in their statement. There is only one place, and that's in Shiloh, where the altar is at. But this one here wasn't for that purpose. This here is a different purpose, and we're going to find out what that is. But again, too often we immediately begin to jump to conclusions, and when we do, why, we find that that's not, it just is never good. That's all. We need to know the truth and then work through whatever it is. But here, they just jumped to conclusions instantly when they saw what was going on. All right, now we're going to begin here with this answer in verse 21. And verse 22 begins that answer. The Lord God of gods. The Lord God of gods, he knoweth, and Israel he shall show, he shall know, if it be in rebellion or if in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day. If we're doing this in the wrong spirit, in the wrong heart, then just save us not this day. Just do away with us. Just take care of us, Lord, because, it's not the other 9.5 tribes. It's us that did it. It's Reuben, Gad, and half Manasseh. We've been compared with Peor. We've been compared with Achan, with things that they have done, and they say that that's the problem here. But, dear Lord, it's not. It's not. Look how they address God. Reuben, Gad, and half Manasseh. Now, before this here, if you'll notice back in the earlier verse there, verse 19, you chose to stay in a land that isn't really to be yours. And so if that's a problem, if that's too far for you to travel, now they've already got cities of refuge there. There are already cities for the Levites to live in to help feed the people, give them the word. All that is in place. So I don't know why they thought that at this point God had not accepted this other side, even though it's sad because we know that's the first area that left too. And so it was God's permissive will, not God's perfect will. But he did allow it, and he did set up the means for the people to grow and to be very godly people. And look at the address again that these folks give. The Lord God of gods. Now today, we don't address our God that way. We sure should. The Lord God of gods. The Lord God of gods, I knoweth, and Israel he shall know, if it be in rebellion or if in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day. And then verse 23, that we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer thereon burnt offering or meat offering, or if to offer peace offerings thereon, let the Lord himself inquire it. If we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying, in time to come your children might speak unto our children, saying, what have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you. And ye children of Reuben and children of Gad, ye have no part of the Lord. So shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. Therefore we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering, not for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you and our generations after us, that we might do service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings, with our sacrifices, with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, ye have no part of in the Lord. Therefore said we, that it shall be when they should so say to us or to our generation in time to come, that we may say again, behold, the pattern of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings, not for sacrifices, but it is a witness between us and you. God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord and turn this day from following the Lord to build an altar for burnt offerings, for meat offerings, or for sacrifices beside the altar of the Lord our God. That is before the tabernacle. Those things belong there. And so look at the testimony and look at the witness of these people. Oh, please, please understand. And they did not, you know, they said, listen here. Listen, all you heads of Israel. They did not intend for this to be in any way something that it was blasphemy unto the Lord. It was just so that never would anyone forget that the 2.5 tribes on one side didn't belong to the 9.5 tribes on the other side. That was the purpose of it. It wasn't for burnt offerings. It wasn't for peace offerings. It was for none of that. It was just to be a reminder of the power and the strength of God, and the reminder of the children of the next generation and the generation following and following and following for both sides. They look at that altar, and that will be the binding between them. We are a part of you. We love the Lord God. And again, the Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, ye know, he knoweth. And Israel, he shall know. If it be in rebellion, or if in transgression against the Lord, you'll know. But it's not. And so they jump to conclusions very quickly there. But Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh come immediately to make it right. They didn't say, well, if that's the way they're going to be, then we're just going to go on our way. You know, that's the way we do too. When one crowd jumps to a conclusion, then we jump to a conclusion and go on. But the 2.5 tribes here, they were more right than the 9.5 tribes that entered into the land, because they said, they made it very clear, all it is to be a remembrance so that you can tell your children that, you know, the 2.5 tribes that live on the other side, they're no less than we are. They're no better than we are, but they're no less than we are, just because they live over there. Because you know what? They came over and fought the battle so we could have this land. They fought the battle, and when it was all completely done, then they went home to their families. You know, you remember, please tell your families that. And so the generation after generation after generation needed to be told that. And that's the problem today, because we have been following religion, and families follow religions. And you know, why do you go to this church? Well, I go to this church because my daddy went to that church. And why'd he go? Because his daddy went to that church. And many times, long, long before, maybe never, was the God of Israel, the Jehovah, the God of gods, ever there. It was strictly a social club, and And that's the reason my father was comfortable in it. That's the reason his father was comfortable in it. Well, you need to see that you check the Word of God and see that where you're attending is scriptural. And please do not deny in any way the Word of God from cover to cover, from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, is God's Word. It's His complete Word. We're not to add to it, take away from it. But we are to study it, and we are to search it, and love it, and enjoy it. And once you come by faith to the Lord Jesus, ask Him into your heart to save you. My friend, what happens then is you begin life. You have no life before that. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. And you are continually dying. But when you come by faith to Jesus, when you trust in Him as your Lord and Savior, then is when life begins and joy begins. And you begin to acquire a knowledge and a wisdom that was never had before, never available to you before. No matter how much schooling, how much education you may have, no matter who you knew, it didn't matter. But now it matters, because it does matter who you know, but the only one to know is Jesus. Anybody else is of no gain or value. Oh, you can learn a lot of things of the world, but if you want truth and wisdom and strength, come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Invite Him into your heart and begin that walk and begin that life. And then what my grandfather and great-grandfather, my great-grandfather should have told my grandfather should have told my dad should have told me about Jesus. I don't know if my great-grandfather knew the Lord Jesus. I don't know if my great-grandfather, my grandfather, my father, none of them told me. They didn't tell me. I found from another direction about Jesus. Now, only old eternity will show us whether they're saved or not. But they never told me. My father never told me about Jesus. Well, I've told my children, and I've told my grandchildren, that I love them, and Jesus loves them, and Jesus died for them. And please, please, they need to come to Jesus. Each one of them need to choose Jesus. They don't need to come to the church that I pastor only because that's what I do, and they went because that's where I go, and so that's where my children go. They need to come here because the gospel is preached and the truth is declared, and they need to come here because they're going to grow. They're going to come to know Jesus as their Savior, and they're going to grow because we study the Word of God. And don't tell me that there's one part of this book that doesn't apply today, because it does. This is God's living Word, and it applies every day. Now, I hope, as the hope was of the building of this altar, was that their children and their children's children will share what that means. Victory was won, and they built that altar on their way home, because they come and did the battle with us. They're equal with us. They're part of our family. And they love God as we love God. But instead of that, it was misunderstood. It was misunderstood to the point that they were coming with a vengeance. What are you doing? You're doing something that's going to cause. And they, again, gave a comparison of Peor and Achan. We're gonna have judgment on us again. What are you doing? Instead of coming and finding out what they were doing, and they could have rejoiced immediately with them. You wonder how much gossip and all those things might have went on. Now, let's look here as we look to verse 30, because that's where we ended. Let me read again verse 29. God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord and turn this day from following the Lord to build an altar for burnt offering, for meat offering, or for sacrifices beside the altar of the Lord our God that is before the tabernacle. You know, we're not doing that. God forbid that we do that. And when Phinehas the priest, this verse 30, and the priests of the congregation and the heads of the thousands of Israel, which were with him, heard the words that the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them. And Phinehas, the son of Eliezer the priest, said unto the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because ye have not committed this transgression against the Lord. Now ye have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, and the princes returned from the children of Reuben, from the children of Gad, out of the land of Gilead, unto the land of Canaan, to the children of Israel, and brought them word again. And the thing pleased the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God, and did not intend to go up against them in battle to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed, for it shall be a witness between us and the Lord God. And it means witness. And so as we look at these verses of Scripture, as we enjoy this study, we find that Joshua chapter 24, here to the end of the book, verse 27, Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto us, lest ye deny your God. And so as we look at the need to come together, the need to be one. Now, again, 2.5 tribes decided to stay on the other side, and they shouldn't have. That wasn't God's perfect will, but it was his permissive will. He allowed that. And when they came over and was obedient to do what they needed to do, they came over and they fought all the battles that needed to be fought. And then they returned home. And in their return home, they decided it would be a wonderful thing for them. I mean, the adults, the warriors, the soldiers, they knew what they had done for the 9.5 tribes. The 9.5 tribes knew what they had done. The whole purpose was that the children would remember when the next generation on both sides, that they would remember what they had done for each other. They would remember to praise and to honor God. They would remember to acknowledge that the hand of God went before them, and they were a part of that. And so please remember that we're with you. Well, I repeat once again, it's not long that somebody wants to stir up some gossip. Somebody saw this. Somebody saw them building this altar. And immediately they knew that there was something wrong, that there was a problem there. And they come and they talked about this Peor, and they talked about situation there. They talked about Achan. They brought that back up again. You remember Achan? You know, when they took Jericho, he took some of the trinkets and things and brought it back home. God said, "Do not do that. The gold and silver is mine. All the rest of it, leave, destroy, burn." But instead of that, Achan brought back, and it was an awful time for him. But it was also a defeat at the next, when they went up against Ai, they were defeated. And they had to come back and says, "What happened? We took Jericho. What happened?" "Well, we got a problem here." Well, they immediately saw this altar as a problem. Instead of going to the leaders and asking the leaders of Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh, saying, "What's your purpose in building this altar?" And they would say, "Oh, just to praise God, to acknowledge. We're not going to use it for burnt offering or for offering sacrifices at all. It's just a place where we can look to there and remember what we did and for you and what you did for us, and we just want to praise the Lord, and we don't want a generation to forget that. And I'm going to ask you again that we need to be raised up here and start speaking the truth to our children so that they'll speak to their children. Otherwise, we're going to have a generation worse than this one because it doesn't know Jesus. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?